Now, we think that Islam confined itself to the study of Al-Quran and the Sunnah and the Hadith and a seerah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. No, they did not confine themselves, scholars, to these subjects. They studied in mosques everything. Everything was studied in mosques. The madrasa that we call madrasa is a mosque. It's a mosque. It's built around the mosque. Few rooms built upon the prayer hall. So everything was done in the mosque, under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the shade of the angels coming down with serenity and tranquility upon people sitting there, starting their classes by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and ending their classes by raising up to pray in jama'ah. There, scholars like Ibn Sina, scholars like Az-Zuhri, scholars like Al-Biruni, Ibn al-Haytham, the great scholars and scientists there in mosques, they produced their research and they wrote their books. Did you know that the book of Ibn Sina, Al-Qanun on Medicine, the most famous book on medicine, was the major reference book at Lund University till year 1866? The Renaissance in Europe and the Industrial Revolution, all of their accomplishments were built upon the achievement of Islamic civilizations and of the great scholars. We hear of great scholars like Shihabuddin al-Qarafi. Shihabuddin al-Qarafi wrote one of the marvelous books on rules of legislation, Al-Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya, known as Al-Furuq. Al-Furuq, a famous work and a great work on rules of legislation. Yet, Al-Imam Shihabuddin Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Qarafi was a great mechanical engineer. He was a great mechanical engineer. He combined both knowledge of the deen and of the dunya. Even Ibn Sina himself, who is said to be heretic because of his research and studies in philosophy, he memorized Al-Quran al-Kareem when he was a little boy. And he ended his life by a recitation of Al-Quran al-Kareem. He used to end it every 3 days. He used to end the recitation of Al-Quran al-Kareem every 3 days. They never separated the study of religion and the study of applied sciences. We're all made together. Even algebra, mathematics, even astronomy were made into poems. We are familiar with poems that handle, for example, grammar, like Al-Alfiyah, the Southern Line poem of Ibn Malik. We are familiar with Jawharat al-Tawheed, a poem of 144 lines that handles the Islamic doctrine, Al-Aqidah al-Islamiyyah. Yet there are poems, didactic poems, odes, that handle even algebra. Even algebra, kids used to memorize poems in order to learn algebra or astronomy or other applied sciences. We're all taught in mosques. In order to understand the greatness of Islamic civilization, we need to go to study our history. If we forget our history, then we have nothing to be proud of. We have nothing to prove in front of the world. We need to go back to our history, especially in these days now. We forget that these days we are living the time of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, migration from Mecca al-Mukarramah to al-Madinah al-Munawwara. We're forgetting that all of our history is attached to the Islamic calendar. All of our history is attached to the beginning of the hijrah migration of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that represents year one. And then the life of our scholars, the battles, the events, the accomplishments, everything is attached to the Islamic calendar. And unless we go back to our history, to study our history and know the events and know the realities that were produced by Islamic civilization, then we can never regain our intellectual consciousness. We can never walk and be proud of ourselves. We don't need a Muslim to walk in the streets of Sweden here with a Western suit, speaking the most elegant Swedish language, and then being ashamed of himself or herself. We don't need this Muslim. We need a Muslim who walks on earth being proud of himself, proud of his identity, being sure that Islam is the solution, not only as a spiritual set of tenets, but also as a way of life. Islam.
Allahu Akbar.
We need to go in our sunnah clothes to walk in the streets and let people tell that this is Islam, say this is Islam and those are Muslims. When we all walk with the sunnah clothes and all our sisters walk with hijab, no one will look at a Muslim and say this is a terrorist. No one will look at a Muslim and say this is a primitive Muslim. Why do we just hide our identity? I even encountered Muslims who changed their names. I met a Muslim whose name was Al-Mustafa, name of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the elect, the selected one, Al-Mustafa, and he changed his name to Mike. Why? Because of being ashamed of himself. He doesn't know. We don't know about our history. We don't know about the greatness of Islamic civilization. We think that we are what they are telling us. They're telling us that you are primitive, you are ignorant, you are illiterate, you are backward, you are, so we are what they are telling us. No, we are the history. We have 14 centuries of history that is behind us, backing us. And if we go back to that history, then we can regain power and might on earth and be superior with this best combination of deen and dunya that Islam produced. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.